at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Republicans at their party's convention in Tampa last night gave a huge welcome to vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan. And the Wisconsin congressman gave it right back, telling party delegates he was thrilled to be their choice and that the Romney-Ryan ticket was ready to lead.
After 4 years of getting the runaround, America needs a turnaround, and the man for the job is Governor Mitt Romney.
Ryan used part of his speech to introduce himself to the country. He also outlined priorities he and Romney would tackle, such as limiting government spending to no more than 20% of GDP. But much of Ryan's address was aimed at the Obama administration and its priorities, which the congressman said were a waste of time.
Here we were, faced with a massive job crisis so deep that if everyone out of work stood in single file, that unemployment line would stretch the length of the entire American continent. You would think that any president, whatever his party, would make job creation and nothing else his first order of economic business. But this president didn't do that. Instead, we got a long, divisive, all-or-nothing attempt to put the federal government in charge of health care.
Ryan's address also provided the build-up for the man at the top of the ticket, Mitt Romney, who will speak tonight. And it came after 2 days of speeches by delegates, all making the case for the Republican ticket, among them several prominent Granite Staters, including Senator Kelly Ayotte and former Governor John Sununu. Today in The Exchange, Granite State Republicans at the convention will get their take on the events in Tampa. Next week, we'll focus on the Democratic convention. Let's hear from you now, Republicans. If you've been following the convention, what do you think of the themes, the speakers, and the platform of the party? What have the convention's highlights been for you? And what do you want to hear from your nominee, Mitt Romney, tonight? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. Our three guests all join us from Tampa. They are Wayne McDonald, chair of the New Hampshire Republican Party. And Wayne McDonald, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. It's As I said earlier, it's great to be back in New Hampshire, if it's only my voice.
Well, and I know last night was a late night for you, so I appreciate you taking the time. Adam Schroeder is also with us, Republican State Representative from Newmarket, chair of the Young Professionals for Romney Coalition. And Adam, thank you also for your time.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Beverly Bruce, New Hampshire State Finance Chair for Mitt Romney for President, and a member of the 2012 Platform Committee and a Romney delegate. And Beverly, again, thanks for making the time out of what I know is a busy week for you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Delighted to be with you.
Well, and Wayne, I'll start with you since you are the chair of our party here in New Hampshire. What are some of the highlights for the Republicans like you at the convention?
Well, it's been a great week, an exciting week. Again, during the pre-show portion, I made a little reference to the weather. It was a bit of a challenge, a little angst on Sunday and Monday.
Right, with the hurricane, yeah.
Exactly, but we were glad that worked out. We certainly wish the folks in Louisiana well and any other state that might be impacted by Isaac's path. There are our thoughts and prayers. But there's been a tremendous amount of energy here. The convention's been well organized. We addressed a lot of important administrative issues. We've heard from some fantastic leaders in our party across this country, governors, congressmen, senators, mayors, showing the outstanding people we have leading our cities and states and working in our nation's capital for the betterment of the country. And they've really put the case well, and I've enjoyed the speeches very much, and especially Congressman Ryan's. And we're very much looking forward to Governor Romney tonight.
Well, and Adam Schroeder, again, as I said, you're chair of the Young Professionals for Romney Coalition. Is this your first convention?
It is, yes.
Yeah. What's it been like for you?
Well, it's been amazing to me. You mentioned the late night to see the hours that people keep. For
yeah.
One.
Like I said, I appreciate you getting up early. Late. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the private parties, or excuse me, the breakfast in the morning with the speakers and everything. But I'm also amazed to see how many young people are here and taking part in it.
Mm. So highlights for you, Adam, given that this is your first one.
I would say definitely the speeches during during the convention thus far, hearing the enthusiasm behind a number of principles and ideas and concepts that running, for instance, for re-election right now as a state rep there in Newmarket, I've been speaking about recently as well.
And Beverly Bruce, is this your first convention? I'm guessing not.
No, it isn't. It's my second convention.
And what has it been like for you so far? What are some of the bright spots for you?
Oh, my God. The energy level is absolutely incredible. And Ann Romney and Chris Christie as the opening act was just, you should have heard the crowds. I mean, just being here is just so alive and exciting. They both gave such passionate and positive speeches, just highlighting the Republican vision for America's future, and I can't believe the energy level this year versus 2008.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that, Beverly. The contrast.
Well, the contrast is, you know, people are ready for change, and the enthusiasm and excitement of, you know, everyone that's there. I mean, even the media seems to be a lot more interactive, and everybody seems to have a bounce in their walk, and it's just exhilarating.
I want to invite our listeners to join us and then get into some of the specifics, both the speakers that have caught your attention and also some of the issues that have been discussed at this convention. But our listeners, you can join us at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And Republicans, it's your turn today. If you've been watching the convention, listening to it on the radio, what do you think of some of the speakers, the themes that have brought up, the platform of the party this year? What have the highlights for the convention been for you? What do you hope to hear from your nominee, Mitt Romney, tonight when he gives his big speech to the convention? Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page. And all of you, you know, it's often said that conventions offer opportunities to rising stars in a party to shine. No better example than President Obama's 2004 speech at his convention, which helped catapult his career. What do you think, Wayne McDonald? How about this convention? Who are some of the rising stars that we've heard from?
Well, Beverly mentioned Ann Romney. Obviously, she did a fantastic job. She's not running for anything, but we're expecting her to assume a very important position come January. But Chris Christie certainly gave a fantastic speech. He really roused the crowd. New Hampshire was privileged also to hear him at the breakfast we shared with Pennsylvania yesterday morning. And he's very inspirational. He lays it on the line. There's not a lot of the sugarcoating or the political correctness or the poll-driven comments that you might hear from politicians. Chris Christie's, you know, what you see is what you get. Somebody who impressed me a fantastic amount is Governor Susana Martinez last night, you know, first Hispanic Republican governor. She's a very dynamic lady. She has really addressed the tough issues in New Mexico. She was a Democrat. She compared the parties. She went through a lot of consideration, came over to the Republican side. She really excited me last night. Another person, former Congressman Otter Davis, who was a Democrat and supported Obama 4 years ago, and he's on board with us now today as a Republican, and was very, embraced us with open arms and said, "It's good to be here, my fellow Republicans." Those are some of the names that come most immediately to mind, and certainly I would be remiss if I did not include our own Senator Kelly Ayotte. Kelly was fantastic. It was so great to see her on that stage Tuesday night. She did a great job yesterday also at the Pennsylvania and the New Hampshire breakfast. These are just a small example of the many, many great speakers we've had, but it really makes you excited about being in the party and really excited about the future of our country.
Well, and here's another speaker who's gotten a lot of mention, including from an email that I just received. This is from Christopher. He says, "After her pragmatic, serious, non-divisive speech last night and commanding presence, I am more convinced than ever that Condoleezza Rice would have been the optimum choice for VP." What do you think about that, Beverly? First of all, Condoleezza Rice, her speech has gotten a lot of buzz.
She was outstanding. She takes the stage. You know, her comments were just so insightful, and she understands that the American ideal is endangered today, And she firmly pointed out that Mitt and Paul Ryan have the experience and integrity and the vision to lead us. And I just loved her comments. You know, they know who we are and what we want to be and what we offer the world. She was just dynamite. We have had some exceptional speakers, as Wayne mentioned, in addition to Arthur Davis and our Senator Kelly Ayotte. We had Nikki Haley from South Carolina, who was outstanding, and Ted Cruz. And they're all talking about the power of the American dream and the opportunities that are provided to those Americans that seek those opportunities. So it's just been unbelievable.
And Adam Schroeder, I have to ask, what were some of the rising stars that caught your attention, either at that podium or at some of the private breakfasts and dinners and so forth that you've been attending?
Well, Wayne mentioned our Senator Kelly Ayotte, and it really has been pretty neat to see excitement from other delegations to see and hear what she has to say. So Pennsylvania yesterday gave her a standing ovation before she even spoke. And I think we're seeing a lot of traction with her policies and choices and what she's saying out there.
There was also, Adam, some attention paid to the fact that women and minorities have gotten more podium time, if I could call it that. What do you think about that, again, as a young Republican? Adam, did you hear the question? Okay, I'm wondering if we lost Adam. Adam, are you there with me? All right, well, maybe that hurricane down there in Florida has hurt our phone lines. Beverly, what do you think? This has been a criticism of the Republican Party. Not enough women, not enough minorities, looks too white and male. This convention has tried to turn that around.
Well, there are so many fabulous women that have surfaced in this convention, and a couple of people commented to me about the fact that we have so many female governors. It's been an eye opener for a lot of folks, and you know, I mean, as I've mentioned, the enthusiasm of everyone with the young folks that are here and the talent that we're seeing in the party is just it's exciting, and you know, people are pleased to see the kind of talent that.
And Beverly, got to cut you off. I do apologize. We'll be right back.
It's The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mike Danielli. You have a unique set of experiences and expertise. We'd like you to help us with our news coverage. You can join our Public Insight Network and let us know which stories we should consult you on. Find out more about PIN, that is the Public Insight Network, at nhpr.org. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from Collins Dentistry for Children, treating the dental needs of infants through teens in southern New Hampshire, with locations in Nashua and Pelham. Details at collinsdentistry.com. And from Goff Wilson, a global immigration law firm helping businesses and individuals achieve successful immigration solutions. Online at goffwilson.com. It's 9:20. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're hearing from New Hampshire Republicans who are at the GOP convention in Tampa, Florida, and we invite you to join us. Republicans, this is your event. What do you think about some of the themes that have been brought up, what the speakers have been saying, and some of the discussion around the platform of the party this year? If you've been watching the convention or listening on the radio, what have some of the highlights been for you? 1-800-892-6477 is our number for you to join us. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page. All of our guests today join us from Tampa. Wayne McDonald, chair of the New Hampshire Republican Party. Adam Schroeder, Republican state rep from Newmarket, chair of the Young Professionals for Romney Coalition. And Beverly Bruce, New Hampshire state finance chair for Mitt Romney for president and a member of the 2012 Platform Committee. And all of you, let's go to our listeners now. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Susan's up first from Walpole. Hi, Susan, you're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. As a moderate registered Republican and a female, I'm appalled by the lack of choice, shall we say, from a religious standpoint and from a women's health standpoint of the Republican Party's platform. It just is mind-boggling for me to imagine all of these women jumping up and down and cheering Romney and Ryan, who are going to try to take our rights from us.
Now, when you say women's health, Susan, you mean abortion specifically?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I have heard some Republican women say, I wonder what you think about this, don't equate abortion with women's health. It's a separate issue. What do you think?
That's absolutely not true from anybody's standpoint. That is a religious statement. It has nothing to do with, really, not only that, but women's abilities themselves and recognized abilities to decide what their own health needs are.
What do you think, Susan? It's often said that Mitt Romney is a more moderate Republican. I heard somebody yesterday call him more an establishment Republican from the business wing of the party. So why don't you feel comfortable with him?
You can't have it all. You can't be right wing on one element and then decide, oh, well, maybe when I get into office, I won't be so right wing. That's absurd.
So you're going to vote for Obama, Susan?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Thanks for calling
Thank
in.
You.
Lots to talk about. I think I'll turn to you first, Adam. You're back with us. What do you think? You hear from moderate Republicans that they feel there is just no room for them anymore in this party.
Yeah, no, and I frankly, on that last topic, haven't heard it come up all that often thus far this week, at least not in such a way where it's something that's being pushed by anybody that I've noticed this week at all. I think that the moderate voters or independent voters more concerned about the economy right now, and that's what I've been hearing, and I think that that's a reason that, frankly, it's more open to that group of voters than probably in years past.
You know, it's interesting, and this is something I should follow up with you too, Beverly Bruce, since you're a member of the platform committee. I have read that this platform is one of the most conservative ever from the Republican Party. Is that your sense of it as well?
Well, I think that, the 2012 platform is, it's a statement of who we are and what we believe as a party and our vision for a stronger and freer America. We had six subcommittees that really worked very, very hard to identify and articulate, you know, what we are committed to as far as rebuilding the economy and creating jobs and a restoration of our constitutional government. And one of the other subcommittees was addressing America's natural resources of energy, agriculture, and the environment. And I was on the subcommittee which addressed reforming government to serve the people. And then the last two committees were addressing healthy families, great schools, safe neighborhoods, and American exceptionalism. It's a very well-written document, and it's available, and I'd advise everyone to read this platform.
Do you think it is more conservative than past platforms?
I think that it is more focused on what we need to do to restore our country and restore some of those conservative values in order to achieve our objectives.
Conservative values, including opposition to abortion, which our caller brought up.
Well, I don't think it's opposition to abortion. It is, it's focused more, and to be quite frank with you, we focused more on jobs and the economy than we did on the social issues, because that's really what's important to the American people today.
You're saying that the platform focuses more on the economy and less on the social issues, Beverly, is that right?
On the subcommittee that I was involved with,
yes.
We focused on jobs and the economy.
But the platform itself, and I have not read the whole thing. I have glanced, but I have not read the whole thing. The platform itself does say no abortion under any circumstances. Is that right, Beverly?
No, it does not.
It does not. Okay, why don't you give us what it says?
Well, I don't have the exact words in front of me, but it's exactly the same as the 19, as we have stated since the 1980s. There are clearly some exceptions, and that is left up to the states and to Congress.
I see. Yeah, and Wayne McDonald, let's bring you into this again since you're chair of New Hampshire's Republican Party. What do you say to moderate Republicans like Susan who feel that the party has gone too far to the right for her taste. What would you say to bring her back, Wayne?
Well, this has been an issue for many years. It has brought some discussion, brought some controversy within our ranks. But the thing I would emphasize this year, and Beverly touched on it, jobs in the economy are the biggest focus. And as I said the other day, when the Democratic State Committee and the Obama campaign rolled out some 90 or maybe even 100 activists, or 100 individuals registered Republicans in New Hampshire, anyone who believes in fiscal responsibility and limited government and can support Barack Obama, really, it kind of surprises me, kind of amazes me. I respect their choice, certainly, but it's so inconsistent with the Republican Party. There's so many issues, so many important issues, and the platform has addressed them all and addressed them well. Most Republicans are not going to agree with every single paragraph or sentence or even word in that platform, but most Republicans will agree with most of it. And what brings us together and what we run on is so much more than what anything that divides us is. And I would say to all Republicans, moderates and conservatives alike, that please look at the whole picture. Please consider the consequences of a second Barack Obama term, given all the failures of the first one.
Okay, and Susan, thank you for being a part of our conversation. Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. We're talking today about the Republican convention this week. We've got three Republicans all joining us from the convention site at Tampa, Florida. Wayne McDonald, chair of the State Republican Party, Adam Schroeder, Republican state rep from Newmarket and chair of the Young Professionals for Romney, and Beverly Bruce, New Hampshire State Finance Chair for Mitt Romney and chair of the 2012 Platform Committee. One more time, that number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. I want to ask you all about another issue that got some play earlier in the week. And Adam Schroeder, to you, I think Ron Paul delegates were upset earlier in the convention over proposed rules changes. Without getting too arcane, Adam, what's your sense of what they were upset about, and what, if anything, has been done to make them feel better?
Well, I had the sense that there was concern about grassroots support within the party. And on the specific rule changes, I've had a difficult time really hearing, even from the Paul supporters, what was done in such a way, or what hasn't been done, that, you know, and what the explanations are that would make them feel that way. But the overall sense since then, I know that there was a video that featured Dr. Paul last night and at the convention, and there were other speakers on the video supporting the principles that Ron Paul has been speaking about during his last couple of presidential campaigns. And I think that with things like that, and mentioning the number of delegates that he did receive during the convention, that the Paul supporters have been able to see, those actions kind of reaching out to them.
Yeah, Wayne McDonald, again, as chair of the party, can you also give us your thoughts on that? Again, without getting too much into arcane rules, what have they been upset about, and what's been done to make them feel better? If anything, it's been said that, look, these are folks the Republican Party should hang on to. They're young and they're energetic.
Sure. As I understand it, a lot of it is, and I wasn't on the Rules Committee. I was supposed to be a delegate and got cut because of our sanction, because we went before February 1. But Governor Sununu was chairman of the Platform Committee, and our male member, Renee Plummer, another delegate from New Hampshire, was it's a man and a woman from every state. She was the other member of the Rules Committee from New Hampshire. As I understand it, a lot of it is tied to caucus states. There were some irregularities during a number of the caucuses around the country, and this was certainly a problem in Maine, and some question of the propriety, not that anybody was necessarily trying to pull a fast one, but there's just been some concern about the process, and as a result, a number of Maine delegates did not get seated, and that was a concern. And for my part, I've particularly with, you know, we have three Ron Paul delegates and some alternates here in New Hampshire, and I've spent quite a bit of time speaking with them and trying to understand the issue better. And you know, absolutely, we want these folks. Congressman Paul has a long and distinguished record in the United States House of Representatives. We're honored by his service. I'm sorry that he has been upset by this, and that the others are, you know, not as happy as we'd like them to be. But we're absolutely trying to listen to them, work with them. We welcome them. We need everyone, and they're certainly not going to support Barack Obama. We're working to address this issue, and I'm confident that we'll bring them back.
One more question about the Ron Paul folks who did make a big splash here in New Hampshire, both in 2012 and in 2008. And Beverly, to you, I had read that the 2012 platform includes a provision or a suggestion to audit the Federal Reserve and establish a commission to study the feasibility of what it calls a metallic basis for U.S. currency, in other words, a gold standard. Are these are clearly priorities for the Ron Paul folks. Were these put in to make them happy, or are they broad priorities for the broad party?
The platform committee was very, very, it's a very good democratic process, and we discussed all of the amendments and took them very seriously. And our chairman of the platform committee was Governor McDonnell, and the co-chairs were Marsha Blackburn and Governor Hovind. And they really spent a great deal of time listening to everyone's position, and we voted on where on those amendments, and based on the overall decisions of the 112 of us that were on the committee, we included things in the platform that the majority of the committee members voted for. So, and it was a very, very intense process, and people were clearly articulating their beliefs, and it was handled fairly, and we were all very pleased with the results.
So you feel like most Republicans are on board with this idea of auditing the Federal Reserve, which Mr. Paul has called for, and looking at establishing or looking at the feasibility of a gold standard, that people were okay with looking at that?
Well, the committee members, the 112 of us,
mm-hmm.
It was not unanimous, but the majority of the folks that were part of the committee believed that that was something that we should clearly include.
Our phone number again for you to join our conversation is 1-800-892-6477. Again, we're talking about the Republican convention. We've got three New Hampshire Republicans all joining us from Tampa with us on the line. And you can join us, too, with your questions or comments about the convention, especially if you've been watching it or listening to it on the radio. What are your thoughts? What do you think the highlights have been so far? And what do you want to hear from the nominee, Mitt Romney, tonight in his big speech before the convention? 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. And all of you, you know, when the convention opened, there was a lot of talk about how it had been a tough primary season, and that the party was sort of took a while to coalesce around one nominee. There was said to be an enthusiasm gap among Republicans for Mr. Romney. What do you think now, Adam Schroeder? Any vestiges of the enthusiasm gap left?
No, not particularly. The issues of the economy, even the last point you were asking about with the platform issues. I think that those things point toward or circle back to the question about independents and moderates that you mentioned earlier. And the idea that the party is focusing on these issues of the economy and jobs and moving forward that way. Congressman Ryan yesterday mentioned in his speech a line that I've heard quoted already a number of times about people that graduated from college during the years that the early years of Obama's presidency, and you know, possibly still live in their, you know, their room from high school at their parents' house. And he mentioned faded Obama posters, and I think that's the thing, is if you're graduating from college and you don't have a job, it's time to start looking in the other direction. I'm definitely feeling that here.
Do you think, Adam, that the choice of Mr. Ryan helped build excitement, solidify support for Mr. Romney, you know, given that Mr. Ryan's younger and, you know, appealing on television and has a certain energy to him?
Yeah, absolutely. It solidifies and reinforces what I was saying about the economic focus. And his speech last night was great. He's a great speaker. It went very well, and everybody got very energized by it.
What do you think, Wayne McDonald? What does the pick of Congressman Ryan say about Mr. Romney and where he wants to position himself in this general election?
Well, it reinforces his message that he's concerned about the spending and the mess in Washington, the fiscal mess that has gotten dramatically worse under Barack Obama. Paul Ryan understands the budget better than anyone. It's a very complicated document. It's a very complicated process that puts it together. And Congressman Ryan has demonstrated incredible ability in that regard. And he's an innovator. He looks at difficult challenges, and such as saving Medicare, and he's worked to address it. He hasn't, unlike the Democrats, we haven't taken $716 billion away from it. So it reinforces that. It shows Governor Romney understands the importance of a balanced ticket. The Ryan pick balances the ticket geographically. It balances, they're two different generations, as Congressman Ryan pointed out last night. So it's a combination of reinforcement but also balance. And it also points out both Congressman Ryan, both Governor Romney, and Governor Romney, they're self-made men. They worked hard. Ann Romney really described their humble beginnings, hers and Mitt's, and Congressman Ryan talked about his own last night. This is a ticket that can truly identify with the average Americans, people getting out of college, people struggling to make it, people working hard to live the American dream. And sees the opportunities that America is all about.
Okay.
So I think that's what Governor Romney's pick really exhibits.
I've got another question for all of you about that as well. You mentioned Medicare, so we'll follow up after a short break and take more of your calls at 1-800-892-6477.
The final Broadway performance of the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess is September 23rd. So with just a few weeks remaining, we feature interviews with Audra McDonald, who stars as Bess, and David Alan Greer, who plays Sportin' Life. Join us. Fresh Air, today at 3 on NHPR.
It's The Exchange on NHPR. 9:39, good morning. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from Antioch University New England, offering a weekend MBA in sustainability focused on the triple bottom line of people, planet, and profit. Information at antiochne.edu. And from the New Hampshire Institute of Politics and Political Library at St. Anselm College, New Hampshire's home for politics. Information at anselm.edu/NHIOP. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, a favorite from our archives, sociologist and author Jonathan Haidt, on how we make decisions and on how we think we make decisions. Join us for that conversation tomorrow morning at 9. Today, we're talking with New Hampshire Republicans who are at the GOP convention in Tampa. We're looking at some of the speeches, the highlights, the issues, and what they hope to hear from Governor Mitt Romney when he gives his big address to the convention tonight. Join us now at 1-800-892-6477. Republicans, it's your turn. What do you make of the convention so far? What do you hope to hear from your nominee tonight? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. And Beverly Bruce, Adam Schroeder, Wayne McDonald, let's go right back to our listeners. Brenda's calling from Phillipston, Massachusetts. Hi, Brenda. Go ahead. You're on the air.
About a week ago, I heard Paul Ryan make a comment about alternative energy. He was referring specifically to the fact that solar company failed that Obama had supported. But what upset me was his statement that they would not support any more fads. Personally, I do not consider solar energy and wind energy fads, and I am very upset at their continuing support of oil, coal, and gas exclusively. I'll take your answer off on the radio.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling in, Brenda. Good to hear from our Massachusetts listeners. I think I'll turn to you, Beverly Bruce. What about energy? And in fairness, I don't think that that was part of your portfolio on the platform committee, but just broadly, how can you tell us what these candidates or what this ticket would do in terms of alternative energy? Beverly, are you with me?
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, phone lines down to Tampa, it gets a little tricky. Did you hear the caller's question about alternative energy? She seems to be, you know, wanting to hear from this ticket more support for alternatives instead of the usual oil and gas.
Well, there was quite a bit of discussion on the platform committee about the America's natural resources. As I mentioned, I was not on that subcommittee, but there was discussion in the general session, and you know, we are very, very committed to developing resources that will provide energy to domestic energy independence. And that was really the focus in the general committee, and that was the fact that the Republican Party is committed to domestic energy independence, and looking at our natural resources that are abundant in our nation to provide that kind of capability.
Talking more about oil, gas, and coal domestically, or talking also about wind and solar resources?
The discussion was about coal and oil and natural gas and nuclear energy and renewable energy. And, you know, under the current administration, we will not pick winners and losers in the energy marketplace. Instead, we will let the free market and the public's preferences determine what the industry outcomes are for addressing our energy challenges.
All right. And Brenda, thank you for that call. And you can join us, too, with your questions or comments on the Republican convention. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. You know, just before the break, Wayne brought up the issue of Medicare and how Paul Ryan has put forward a plan on that. I want to ask you, I think, Adam, you know, Paul Ryan said last night, basically, bring it on. We're ready to debate this issue. We're ready to defend our proposed changes for Medicare. What do you think, Adam, though, given the dramatic changes that Mr. Ryan has proposed, turning Medicare into a voucher-type system, do you think that there's a possibility that this will backfire, Adam, despite Mr. Ryan's attempts to explain it?
Well,
I mean, Democrats are basically salivating at using this issue, as you probably know.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit off point, at least in their description of the attacks, namely on the seniors and the idea that it's not going to be affecting people, I believe, you know, over 55. But we know something has to happen, and states, towns, you know, places are going bankrupt dealing with these kinds of issues, and for a government entity to be going bankrupt is a remarkable and very troubling thing that we're looking at today. So no, I think that we know that the conversation has to be taking place, and we need to be taking action on it right away.
What do you think, Wayne? How will voters perceive this conversation? Voters in the general election now, not just Republicans.
Sure. Well, I think it's important that we make it clear, and these are the facts. Adam points out that the program is in trouble, and it is, and that's why Paul Ryan has proposed his plan to save Medicare, and that's the focus. You know, you pull $716 billion away from it, which is what Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and all the others did to fund this incomprehensible takeover of health care, which we affectionately call Obamacare. They call it the Affordable Care Act. I'm trying to figure out what part of it's affordable. But anyway, I think it's going to be important for the Republican Party to really explain And we're gonna take this issue head on because we want to save Medicare, and the Democrats are basically defunding it.
Well, and we will have many debates, I'm sure, on this program around what exactly everybody means when they say they're going to preserve and protect Medicare. Everybody says they're going to do it. People have different ways of going around it. So we'll leave that for now. But all of you, you know, looking ahead to tonight and the big speech from Governor Romney, and boy, it's going to be another late night for all of you. Beverly, Bruce, what do you hope to hear tonight from Governor Romney?
Well, I think that he's just going to summarize what we've heard throughout the convention, and he's going to fortify the fact that he and Paul Ryan will make a pledge to the country that they will deliver, and they are committed. They are committed to lead us to restoring our country. I mean, they are the comeback team, and they know who we are. They know what we want to be, and they know what we want and can offer to the world. And I'm really looking forward to his speech. I think that we're all going to be very, very pleased. And we've got a great future ahead of us with the Romney-Ryan ticket.
You know, Beverly, a lot has been made of this, maybe even too much, about the idea that, you know, this speech offers Romney an opportunity to show who he really is, provide some warmth and charisma. How important do you think that is? I mean, you know, everybody says, no, no, I want to hear him on the issues. But how important do you think it is that Governor Romney convey a sense of who he is, his humanity, so to speak?
Well, you know, I'm tired of hearing the humanizing. Romney is experienced. He has a proven track record. Just look at his accomplishments. He is a leader. He is clearly doesn't have a steep learning curve. He's been governing. He knows exactly what the problems are with our country, and he is prepared to take on the difficult challenge of turning this country around. And that's what, as Americans, we need someone that understands what our problems are and someone who's capable of addressing those really tough issues and leading us out of this mess.
Adam Schroeder, from a young professional's perspective, what do young Republicans want to hear from Governor Romney?
You know, what I think that people want to hear about is less of the humanizing concern tonight, although, you know, I think they'll be looking for that, and more maybe some specifics on what he can do, and to hear his expertise in the jobs market, helping small businesses, deregulation, things like that. It may come across as rhetoric to a lot of young people right now about just hearing jobs and economy without understanding how you're getting from point A, where we're at today, to point B, which is hopefully somewhere where we've turned around and the economy is back on track. And, you know, things like deregulation, dealing with mandates and things like that, that can hopefully help to explain to people how we are going to get there. And we've been, you know, they've been trying to do that already quite a bit with this convention, with the We Did Build It idea. And we had a small business owner from New Hampshire on with Kelly Ayotte Tuesday, Jack Gilchrist. And I think that idea, and to hear that from Romney later tonight, might be the most important thing.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm remiss because I haven't asked you all this question, and here we are just a couple minutes away from the end of the program. So, Adam, I'll ask you quickly. Foreign policy, we heard a little from Condoleezza Rice, a little from John McCain. Do you want to hear anything on foreign policy from Governor Romney tonight?
Well, yeah, to the extent that you mentioned, you know, trying to be, not even an attempt to be just today's convention being more inclusive than I think people typically would characterize the convention as being, or the GOP convention as being. It's been you asked me early on in the show what one of my favorite things has been in being here, and it's been the youth and diversity and talking about immigration in such a way that's very inclusive and open, and also ties in the economy and how it will help with our country's innovation and our jobs. And it's amazing to see a different reality than sort of like the brand that is out there that in most people's perception of what might be taking place at the convention.
And, you know, Wayne McDonald, as we look toward Governor Romney's speech, and by the way, that speech will be broadcast on New Hampshire Public Radio, along with our convention coverage every night this week. Governor Romney will be introduced by several speakers, among them, Wayne, a leader of the Mormon Church. I want to ask you where you think Republicans stand on this now, given that 4 years ago, some evangelical Christians said no way they could accept a Mormon nominee. How have we changed over 4 years on this issue in terms of, you know, Republicans and how they feel?
Well, Governor Romney has been out there, you know, 4 years ago, while he was certainly a known quantity, he had been a governor, he had been on the national stage a bit. He was still... much less known. The whole concept of Mormonism was a new concept to most in the party. For the last 4 years, he's been out there campaigning for candidates, helping the party, helping many, many worthwhile causes, which has been the story of his life. And so I think people are more accustomed to the whole concept now. Again, America's about religious freedom. Nothing surpasses the importance of religious freedom in America. John F. Kennedy took that issue head on in 1960, and I think we need to, you know, and I don't refer to Democrats very often, as you know, but certainly John F. Kennedy was an articulate, very articulate on that issue. And so I think we're going to move beyond that. I think we're going to look at the fact that this election really boils down to somebody who will lead domestically and internationally on the economy, on restoring our respect in the world, on protecting our country. Those are what this is going to be about. And, I think that as they get to know Mitt Romney, and tonight the man and the issues really meet, and they're going to see Mitt Romney, the guy they've been hearing about. They're going to hear from what we expect to be President Romney, and I think it's going to go very well.
Well, and let's telescope down for a minute from the National Convention to New Hampshire. And, Beverly, were rules adopted at the convention governing the next New Hampshire primary, especially whether we'd maintain our status as first in the nation?
We are first in the nation, and we're very proud of that. We're really excited. As Wayne mentioned, Governor Sununu was the chairman of the Rules Committee, and he was very, very happy with the outcome. So New Hampshire, live free or die, will be the first in the primary.
And, you know, it's funny, Beverly, Adam mentioned earlier a breakfast that he got to go to with Governor Christie of New Jersey. Have you gotten sort of special treatment, Beverly, given that you're from a swing state?
I don't know whether it's special treatment, but the New Hampshireites are certainly proud of being first in the nation. And, you know, we're very fortunate because we get to meet all the candidates during the primaries. And so they know us. We've asked them tough questions. We have opened our homes to them, and I think we all feel pretty special because we do have that accessibility to the candidates early on during the campaign. And it's just a great privilege and to be a New Hampshire resident and to have the opportunity to get to know these individuals.
Well, and Adam, I've heard from past conventions that the New Hampshire delegates, Republicans and Democrats, both say that they get to meet some of these rising stars who just might be showing up, in 2 or 3 years to campaign for president themselves. Have you seen that? Have you felt that, Adam?
I think in the sense that you meant about the breakfast with Governor Christie, there was actually a full lineup of speakers that again included Kelly Ayotte, Senator Ayotte, in that same breakfast, which was really neat. But I'm not certain that it's only about the first in the nation status. I also kind of have a sense here, at least at this convention, that New Hampshire as a group, not just our delegation, but as a state and our populace and our thinking and where we're at politically and the policies that we're looking to see are a little bit forward thinking and are really being embraced, the principles of New Hampshire are really being embraced here at the convention in that way. And that is also giving us greater access.
Yeah, and Wayne, only four votes, but considered up for grabs. We are considered a purple swing state this time around. What can we expect, Wayne, once you guys take down the balloons and the banners and so forth and come back to New Hampshire?
Well, we're going to continue to work hard. We've been working very hard. We've opened victory centers throughout the state. We can expect to see Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney up in New Hampshire a lot. They were there, of course, I guess it's almost 2 weeks ago now, but they'll be back numerous times. And there's going to be a lot of hard work, but we're going to see the ticket in. We're going to see distinguished surrogates coming in for them. New Hampshire, as we know, in 2000 made the difference for President George W. Bush very well, and it can make the difference for President Mitt Romney. And we're going to do everything we can to put it in the red column. We think we feel very good about putting it in the red column with this, for a variety of reasons. So you're going to see a lot of great Republican leaders coming into New Hampshire in addition to the ticket itself.
Well, when that ticket comes in, Wayne, I hope you put in a good word for the exchange. Maybe we can talk to Romney or Ryan here on the show. Really appreciate you folks taking the time, especially since you've had some real late nights this week. Wayne McDonald, good to talk to you. Thank you for your time.
Great talking to you.
Wayne McDonald, chair of New Hampshire's Republican Party. Adam Schroeder, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Adam Schroeder, Republican state rep from Newmarket, chair of the Young Professionals for Romney. And Beverly Bruce, thank you also for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Beverly Bruce, New Hampshire State Finance Chair for Mitt Romney for President, member of the 2012 Platform Committee. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer today is Mike Danielli. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.